Let's play some cards.
From Harrah's St. Louis Casino and Hotel, this is The Final Table, starring Team Poker Stars pro Dennis Phillips with Paul Harrah's and the poker coach, Joe McGowan. I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please. Brought to you by Poker Stars, Reactor Watches, and the Poker Players Alliance.
You got to
know. Now, from the Harrah's St. Louis Poker Room, here are Dennis and Paul on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Welcome to week number 54 of the Final Table, live from Table 2 here at Harrah's World Series of Poker Room in St. Louis, Missouri, and worldwide with our podcast available on thechipleader.com. I am Paul Harrah's Team Poker Stars Pro. Dennis Phillips is back from a trip to Florida for a little football game over the weekend. And Joe, the poker coach, McGowan, is joining us by phone from Southern California. Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm here, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Joe, did you make any bets on the game?
I'm going to start right out with it, huh? Kick a man when he's down.
Did you two have a little something going on the side there?
I tweeted right before the game. I gave him a prediction on it. And said that I thought they should bet on the under on the game. And I got an immediate response from a number of people, including a guy from California who said, oh, I'll take the over.
You know, I already had my bet down, fortunately, on New Orleans. I was very lucky to pick them. And that's all that I had. And then I get this tweet from Dennis. I'm like, you know what, I'll take some extra action. You know, okay, you like the under, I'll take the over. Big mistake.
The over-under was 56. The final was 31-17, so that's 48. Yep. So did you take them to the cleaners?
I actually had, I think, 9 different people call me up asking, saying they would take the over.
Wow.
I took them all.
Very, very nice.
It turned out to be a profitable trip to Florida.
I bet it was. Tell us a little bit about your trip. I have not really spoken to you about this all that much. I only know because you tweeted from down there. And the first thing I have to ask you about, a lot of people would say, tell us about being at the Super Bowl, tell us about being at the game.
Uh-huh.
Here's what I want to know about: the Playboy golf party and pool party.
Yeah, I fit in so well there, let me tell you. No, actually, it was a blast. They were down there. There were, I think, 10 of the different centerfolds down there and a total of about 50 women representing Playboy. There were more Playboy people there than there were golfers almost at the golf thing, which nobody complained about. I don't know why, but for some reason they didn't.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but they were on basically every hole meeting us. They had different sponsors down there. It was a blast.
What were they wearing?
Okay, that's not usually the way they word it. What weren't they wearing?
Okay.
No, they were totally kosher. I mean, they were very attractive outfits. They were plaid skirts that, you know, well, there wasn't a whole lot of material there, but there was, anyhow.
My.
Yeah.
Kosher wouldn't be a word that would come to mind for me. I don't know why say that.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But, no, it was a blast. And, actually, it was a lot of fun. Golf with a group of people down there. We shot 13 under.
Very nice.
I drove the cart.
All right. I'm guessing it was a scramble format. How many times did they use your shot?
Actually, surprising enough, they used it a number of times.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
so the rest of the foursome must have sucked.
No. We shot 13 under, but it was amazing because it seemed like whenever I'd make a mistake, it'd come out through roses type thing. There was a par 5 there that had a water in front of it about 245 yards.
Yeah.
Nobody told me about that, so I'm up there teeing off with my driver, and occasionally I can actually hit it. Halfway decent, right? I drove it about 242.
Nice.
I mean, I literally was... if you were standing in front of the ball, your front foot just a little ahead of it, it was about 6 inches from where it went down to the water. It's perfect, the perfect shot.
Very nice.
Of course, now if I'd have known it was 245, I'd have hit with like a 3-wood. I would have been at 185 or 90 because I'd have probably skied it or something, and they wouldn't have used my ball.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, sometimes it's good to err.
Very nice.
On that.
So. Okay, so now fast forward to the pool party later that day.
Actually, the pool party was the next day.
Oh.
On that. Went over to it, ran into some friends from St. Louis. Arnold Donald was there. Larry Johnson was there. Hung around the pool. Arnold got involved in a few pictures, of which I now have blackmail material.
Uh-huh.
So the pool party, was just that. I still don't understand how they can wear these kind of bikinis and high heels and expect to go in the water, but I didn't object.
I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, it was actually a lot of fun.
I'm also guessing that most of these women floated.
Yeah, they had no risk of drowning. There's no doubt about it. What was the way the one guy described it? He said you could put a palm tree on each one and have a desert in between.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Wearing their water wings in front. I understand. I understand completely. So as a middle-aged single guy, you had a hell of a time.
Yeah. And actually, I'm old enough that they didn't have to worry about me. They could flirt with me and not have to worry about it.
Oh, no. You and I are both at the age where we are invisible to these women.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. No threat to them whatsoever. Yeah.
I did run into Isaiah Thomas, who I'd never met before down there. He mm-hmm. was at the party. Talked to him. A really nice guy.
Yeah.
I just sat around and talked about some different stuff and a number of other people on it.
I'm curious about whether when you're at an mm-hmm. event like this, people recognize you. I mean, you're surrounded by attractive women. There are sports figures like Isaiah Thomas there. Do they know Dennis Phillips? Oh, there's that poker guy?
They actually, sometimes they may not remember my name, but they remember, oh, you're the poker guy, or there's something like that. I'm amazed now that I continually get recognized, no matter where. We went to a party after that, they called Leather and Lace on it. And, again, I walk in the door and immediately, you know, people recognize me and the whole bit. Mm-hmm. Of course, it doesn't hurt to be wearing the Cardinal hat. So.
Oh, you went for that rather than the leather or the lace?
Me and leather and lace, think again, okay? This is not a pretty sight. Not even close. This is really, really bad, guys.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, it was a great weekend. I mean, the next day I got to do the what they call the Celebrity Spectacular Tournament that was for autism down there. Jim Carrey hosted that along with Jenny McCarthy. There were a number of other people there. I played in it. I made the final table.
Congratulations.
Yep, and then I made the mistake of pushing all in with an ace-king again.
Oh, yeah. I thought we had a discussion about this.
Yeah.
Now, wait a second. Did you shove with ace-king, or did you call off your stack with ace-king?
I shoved with it.
Okay, well, that's different.
Okay, yeah. Same result.
Okay.
All righty. Ron Perlman called me with an ace-six.
Right in the door? The six comes?
Oh, the turn. Right there on the turn.
Yeah.
You know, just give me a little hope. It didn't come on the flop. Of course, it had to be the turn.
Yeah.
But it shows up. But, I mean, there was a number of people there. We had a lot of fun.
Did you have any great hands where you just completely ran over the table?
Yeah. I played one of those quality hands that Joe loves so much. I had a 7-9 of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I raised with a preflop.
Okay.
Flopped a 10-8-6.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I had a guy ahead of me betting into me.
Oh, I love that.
On the flop, he bets, I just call, two other people behind me call.
Wow.
I'm sitting here going, this is not bad.
Yeah.
This is not bad.
Yeah, must call.
Yeah, got
must
to,
call.
Got to. Turn card come, it's another blank. Same guy bets out again. I just call. Guy behind. It gets better, Joe. Guy behind me shoves.
I'm just doing my little background cry call.
Did you Hollywood it all before the second call?
I didn't even have to. It was so funny. It really was. Anyhow, I took down a monster pot there. Put two people out of the tournament with it a little bit. And the funny thing of it was, it came runner hearts. I ended up with a flush. One of the guys that I knocked out, the flush came on the river. I turned up my cards and he looks and goes, "Oh, you sucked out on me. Got the flush." I'm saying, "I hit the nuts before this. What are you talking about?"
You know, that I will tell you that is one of the best feelings there is in poker, to flop the nuts.
Yeah, and then improve.
On a rainbow board.
Yeah.
And have somebody bet into you. And then your hand improves. And they bet into you again.
Yeah.
That's just glorious, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, and actually, in this case, we all know you didn't really want to improve. I mean, because...
No.
You improved,
then
but
I didn't,
you actually didn't. You got weaker because you flopped the straight.
That's a good
point. That's
good. That is it. Yeah, I guarantee I had the nuts on the turn.
High flush draw or something, so you kind of don't want to hit it there.
Yeah, but by that time the money was all in, so it didn't make any difference. But I did like that comment. The guy had a top pair and top kicker on it, and thought he was golden.
Yeah,
on it. So yeah, I had to point out the straight.
Yeah, Joe.
You said in the beginning of the show, you said the over under was what?
56, I think.
57.
Oh, 56. It was 57? Yeah, and then Dennis, what did me and you have it at? 57.
Yeah, 57. Yeah, it was 57.
Yeah,
57. Yeah.
You still lost, Joe.
I'm making fun of you right now. I got it at 57.
Doesn't matter what the number was.
I got the over. Isn't that funny how that lines up?
Oh, but it's It was. I'll tell you what. We were tweeting back, or not tweeting. We were texting back and forth a little bit. And Joe was so funny, because I mean, you know, it starts out, and you know, he said finally there's a couple scores going. He said I thought I was drawing dead, and you know, it was a chip in a chair, and I mean, all of the phrases were coming across here on it. It was hilarious. I was showing him some of the guys I was with on that. By the way, you got a couple guys who want to meet you, Joe. They also want to bet you.
But, you know. Next year's Super Bowl, if they take me, I'll give them some
You know what, Joe? I don't know how much the bet was for, and you don't have to tell us if you don't want to here, but no matter what you did, you didn't lose as much as a couple of Las Vegas gamblers by the name of Phil Ivey and Billy Waters, who, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, put a $2 million money line bet on the Colts. Jay Rude of the MGM Mirage Sportsbook has confirmed, he won't confirm who it was, but he confirmed, yes, they did take a seven-figure bet on the Colts' money line, which would be the Colts to win it at minus 200.
Wow.
Doesn't matter what the line was, they lost, according to the LVRJ, a $2 million bet on the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, wow. So some big money there. How's your buddy Darvin? I'm sure he's flying high.
Absolutely, absolutely. I talked to him it was a Thursday night, I think, the first time I met. He flew down on a Thursday. I was a little bit jealous. He had access into the locker room before the game. He was on the field. I mean, the whole bit. They gave him carte blanche, go wherever you want. Here's a pass, just have some fun.
Nice.
It was excellent. They treated him like gold, took care of him very, very well.
Darvin Moon, the runner-up at last year's World Series of Poker, who, of course, is not from New Orleans. He's from Western Maryland, but a huge Saints fan all the way and wore the cap the entire time.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah. On it.
That
but
was an
I think,
awesome game, by the way. I mean, you must have
oh, absolutely.
Live.
Well, it was so well played. There weren't any, you know, major changes in it. There wasn't these 50-yard passes. There wasn't a lot of penalties that affected it. There wasn't a lot of turnovers that affected it. It was a very well-played game.
Well, there was one important turnover that affected it.
Well, it sealed the deal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they were already ahead by a touchdown. I was afraid it was going to go into overtime, which would give Jim some of the other guys, Joe also, some of the guys that I made the bets with, a chance then.
Yeah.
Because if it goes into overtime, you realize, I believe in the Super Bowl, it's not sudden death. You pay a full period.
I don't know.
I think you
I don't think so. I think it's sudden death.
Okay. But I'm not for sure about that. Maybe somebody can call in and let us know on it. I thought it was a full 15-minute period.
Donovan Knabb would know the answer to that question.
There you go. We'll call him. Okay. No problem.
Yeah.
All right.
The other thing I was going to ask you about is whether you played any poker down in Florida, where I know they had that ridiculous $100 rule.
Yeah. Oh, great question. I got something for you, Joe. Have you ever played down in Florida? What they have on their...
I know where you're going with it. I haven't played there for a long, long time. But, yeah, I played. They have that funny rule. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. The Floridian law that on the no limit, the maximum you can buy in for is $100. So if you go to it when they've got, you know, maybe these guys have been playing for 4, 5, 6 hours, you sit down at a table, these guys, one to your left has 500, this guy has $1,000, whatever, you get to buy in for your little bitty stack of 100.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
Yep.
Now, actually, it was kind of fun.
Now, what stakes were you playing down there? I mean, with a $100 buy-in, it's only what, like 1-2?
No, you 5-10, 2-5, whatever. Again, literally, with a 5-10 table, you're buying in with 10 big blinds, and that's it.
How are you playing 5-10 with a $100 stack? You're all in on every hand.
You pick a hand and go. That's pretty much it. And that's what a lot of these guys were doing.
I mean, Joe, is there any other strategy there other than you're going to be all in with your 100 bucks on any decent hand?
Well, what I heard that they do in, like, the bigger games... They get to know each other after a while, and as soon as they sit down, they all go all in, you know, 9 times or 10 times, and take turns, and then, you know, after a bit, everybody has 1,000 each, you know.
Where seat one wins the first hand, seat two wins the second hand, seat. So they're all putting $1,000 in, and after 9 or 10 hands, everybody's got $1,000 in front of them.
That's great for that table. But then later on, after they've played 3 or 4 or 5 hours, and a couple of these guys have gotten up, if you're unlucky enough to be the person that sits down at that table.
Oh, yeah.
You have $100, they have $1,000 average, and you get to try and play against them.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not fun. There's no doubt about it. You have to play a totally different strategy. Actually, I kind of enjoyed it for a while. I would hate to do that every day. But for a while, it literally was. You had to read the players. You had to make a decision. It was like you were short-stacked in a tournament.
But I'm guessing all the decisions are pre-flop. I mean, you're not making big decisions on the turn. At that point, if you only bought in for $100, you probably already have half of your stack
actually
in there.
Actually not, because most people think that. So you play it a little bit different. I had a couple of times. I had pocket sevens one time, and a guy made a raise ahead of me and was just anxious for me to go all in, right? and I just smooth called him like the $20. Flop came a 9 high over there. I was a small blind, I think it was. I shoved.
Mm-hmm.
He laid down his ace king. Guarantee that if he'd had it ahead of time, he would have, you know, shoved in on it.
Yep.
And go type things. You don't have to shove every time. That's a little of a fallacy on that thing. On it.
Interesting.
And, you know, I built my stack up. I did fairly well down there. And once you get up to 300 or 400, then they've got enough respect for you. You can play a little different. But to start out with, a lot of times it basically is. I had a guy sit down there firsthand. He went all in blind for 100.
You know, we used to have the $500 loss limit here in Missouri. And everybody in the St. Louis poker community was very familiar with it. And you can only buy in for $500 every 2 hours. And what would happen was you'd have people who would start playing in the game middle of the day, and then by 10 o'clock at night, somebody would come from a concert, or they'd be, you know, here with some friends, and they decide they wanted to come in and sit down on the 2-5 game, and all they could buy in for was $500, and several of us would have $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 if you'd been playing all day long in front of them. And there was a tremendous advantage of being able to play all day long and have those chips in front of you, as opposed to the new players who could only come in short stacked. And there was that risk that if they lost that stack, they couldn't buy in again until the 2 hours had expired. Now, of course, we had our ways around that.
Well, there were ways out, obviously. You know, but, we had our office over here in the corner.
But still, there were plenty of people who came to town who were kind of intimidated by that, as there would be any place else. And I know that I've gone, even in games with no cap on them, where you can buy in for any amount, where I might be sitting down in a 5-10 game and I'm only going to buy in for $1,500, and other people are buying in for $5,000, $10,000, $25,000. I mean, it's not going to change how I play, but it changes my mental state right at the beginning when I look around that table, knowing, wow, I'm really the short stack here. And it, I think it forces you to play a little bit differently.
Well, think on this. And Joe, you'd be excellent on this. You're in a new place. You're the new guy at the table. So these others have been playing back and forth. They've got a kind of a feel of each other on it.
Yeah.
So you have 8 or 9 other people at the table that you don't know how any of them play. And then you're the short stack on top of it.
Yeah.
Just how the devil do you play that?
Joe?
It made it tough.
Well, I'm not friendly. I'm not friends with this guy, but I know of him. He knows of me. He's one of the best cash game players around and totally makes a living. And it's not Paul Taylor. This is a different guy I'm talking about. Definitely well-known poker player, and he'll sit down on those games, but bigger, and he'll many times min buy, and the min buy might be 5,000, and there might be a guy at the table with 200,000. There's definitely another guy at the table with 60 or 70 or 80. And after seeing him do this a couple times and bouncing around here and there, you know, why do you do that? And he's like, well, if I sit down with 180, all the eyes and all the attention is going to be on me. Everybody's going to totally try to focus on me. Everyone's going to try to read me. Everyone's going to try to be super careful with me. If I just sit down with 5, it's a little easier that way where they're really not that worried about me. And
you
can chip up, you know, rather quickly and not have to be put to the test and make big, big decisions for his whole stack, you know, because he is with his whole stack at the 5. But, of course, you know, he probably has 100 in his pocket. You know, it's not like he can't afford it. So that's something to think about when you do buy in a little bit on the shorter side.
Well, I will say that most of the players at the table definitely want the law to change.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the conversations. It was basically, we want to play real poker. We want to, you know, be able to put down what we want here. We want the freedom to play the way we want to play.
Well, as we used to point out, and the rule in the law in Missouri was changed about 15 months ago. So now there may be a cap on the game that's put in place by the casino or by the table, but not by the state anymore. And the point we always used to make here, and I'm sure the people in Florida were making, was this is none of the government's business. This is one of those things that the Poker Players Alliance should be out there fighting for, in addition to all the other things about legalized poker, which is the government doesn't tell you how many cars you're allowed to buy, doesn't even tell you how many lottery tickets you're allowed to buy, a game that they're involved in. They don't tell you how many hats or shoes or anything else you're allowed to buy. Why would they tell you how much money you're allowed to buy into when it comes to any kind of gambling event? Ridiculous.
Well, it is, because you're down there at a casino, and I guarantee they don't prohibit you from putting $1,000 into a slot machine or going to the blackjack table and playing whatever you want.
Right.
Do they really think that by limiting that one particular game, it's going to make any difference?
Now, is a $100 max bet or a $100 max buy-in?
Buy-in.
Oh, see.
That's buy-in.
That's just plain wrong.
Yeah.
This is the final table. I'm Paul Harris with Dennis Phillips and Joe, the poker coach, McGowan. Bernard Lee is going to join us in a few minutes. Bernard has become a media personality in addition to being a professional poker player. He's got a big announcement he's going to share with us today. You know him from Inside Deal, the poker show that airs on ESPN.com. And he's been writing about poker with a column on ESPN for several years. He's going to join us in a few minutes. I want to get to an email. Before we take a break here, I want to get to an email from a listener by the name of Rain O'Brien, who wanted to respond to last week's show where we talked to Nolan Dalla of the World Series of Poker about women in tournaments that are women-only events.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, guys, I love the show, blah, blah, blah. I've been a female gamer for years as well as a poker player. I also go to gaming conventions where women make up less than 1% of the overall attendees. And it's just really nice to have one event every so often you can go to and not have one of these reactions. Oh, my God, you're a girl. You're a girl. You're ruining my man time just by being here. You're a girl. I must flex my masculine muscle to prove I can beat you. Or to have them never look above my neckline the entire time. While the majority of the time I'm fine with all of the above, in some instances I think it gives me a distinct advantage, but other times it's just really nice to be able to take some time off from having to deal with all that, if only for one tournament. So there's a woman's perspective. I mean, we were four guys talking about this last week.
That's a good point.
So there's a woman's perspective, and I've talked to a couple of other female poker players, and they're mixed on it as well. A couple of them say, you know what, I'm good enough that I don't need to only compete against other women. I can, you know, mm-hmm. I know one woman here locally who can sit down with the big boys and play at any level and crush the game. And other women who feel kind of the way Rain does, which is, you know what, it's fine playing against men, but it's nice every once in a while to have a table of just women. And while we're getting to email, let's get to one from a listener named Terry. And by the way, our email address is dennisphillipspoker@gmail.com. And Terry writes, I have a pet peeve I want to share with you guys. You know the phrase, that's poker, usually uttered immediately after somebody sucks out on a one or two outer. I always try to correct the thinking by pointing out that that was luck, not poker. Now, if a player call bluffs or floats and takes the pot away on a later street or fires three bullets on a stone-cold bluff to induce a fold, now that's poker. I think the misuse of this term to justify bad beats enhances the incorrect perception that poker is a game of luck versus skill. All poker players realize that there's an element of luck involved in poker. However, we should always try to emphasize that overall, poker is a game of skill. Joe, you want to address Terry's email?
How about we turn the tables? How about we start with you?
Well,
I'll go second.
Many times on this show, we've talked about hands where you get the money in with middle set and you get beaten by somebody with top set. And each of us has at some point said, well, you know what? That's poker. That's going to happen. If you lose your stack in that circumstance, that's poker. Now, that's not somebody necessarily sucking out on you. That's just...
That's cold,
That's cooler. That's getting a cooler, exactly. But I also think that if you're playing enough poker to have seen a lot of hands in your life, you're going to see so many one-outers, two-outers, three-outers, four-outers, that you're going to have to realize that that is part of the game of poker, that there is an element of luck involved in this. There is certainly skill involved in reading the other players, knowing what starting hands to start with, knowing what situations to take advantage of, knowing when to fold. That's a major skill that people have to develop. And all of those are certainly skills that come into how you play this game. But for anybody to deny that luck is not a factor in poker, you could ask Doyle Brunson or any of the other top pros in the world, and they will tell you, you know what, that's poker. There's always going to be that guy who hits that on the river. Do we want that to be the perception that that's the way our game runs predominantly? No, because it isn't the way our game runs predominantly. Those are, for the most part, the aberrations in our game. But I think that those are part of what we deal with every time we sit down at the felt or log on and play online. That's poker. That's my feeling. How do you guys feel?
Well, I think that I love the email. I actually totally agree, because I think what he's trying to say is that, you know, he just doesn't like people, you know, when this happens and someone does hit the one outer or the two outer and gets incredibly lucky, that perception that so many people are trying to change that perception to make poker legal and, you know, to have all these problems that are out there with poker. When they say, well, that's people that don't know and that are against it, they say, well, poker is just a game of luck. So I think what this person's trying to say is, by us saying that, well, that's poker, that kind of adds fuel for their fire. And he's saying, you know, that's not poker. You know, poker, you know, that's poker when you make a great play or you make a great bluff or you steal a pot or you make a great laydown. That's poker. That he wants that perception to change instead of just shrugging your shoulders saying that's poker. So I actually really agree with this email, and I think, you know, we probably should change that because we are giving them a little fuel to the fire by accident, you know, just by using that term in an incorrect way.
Well, I don't want to give any kind of fuel to the idea that it's, you know, a game of luck and everything, because I guarantee it's a game of skill. I've seen too many skillful plays, too many different calls, too many good reads like that to know that. I just know that it is. Again, this is just a kind of an off-the-cuff remark. I don't think anybody means anything by it. You know, it's just, you know, it happens to you. You're an 80-20 favorite. That does mean you lose one out of every five hands, you know, preflop, or you're a 70-30, or you're whatever.
Or even if you're a 95-5, a 19-1 favorite, as can happen on the river, and they have to hit that two outer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It does happen 5% of the time.
You're not 100%.
It is. The one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that those are the exciting hands. Those are the abnormal hands, and that therefore they're the ones that get shown on TV a lot more often. You have 19 times in a row where the best hand wins, and it's not exciting, and the pile is pushed to the correct guy, and everything's fine. And then you have the other one where the whole crowd goes, oh, my gosh, oh, this and that.
Whoa.
So guess which one gets shown on TV.
Yep.
And that, I think, leads more to the perception that it's more luck than skill, more than anything else, because they're showing the exciting hands. They're showing the aberrations rather than the standard on it, and that does it. The fact that we say that's poker, I understand his point. Don't mind the point. He does have a valid point there. I don't want to do anything that's going to lead to the idea that it is more luck than skill. But, again, I say it all the time, too. You know, hey, that's poker. It happens. It's part of the game. It is a percentage of it. You know, move on type things.
I'd rather you say that's poker than throw the cards at the dealer and storm out in a huff.
Yeah, tip the table over. You know, minor little things like that. Okay, yeah.
You know, this might be like a two-in-one deal because you might say that's poker, and then as you're leaving, you might say to the guy, nice hand. There's another one of mine that I would take. You know, the guy like makes a horrible mistake, puts his money in as bad as can be. He's kind of the so-called, you know, donkey at the table. He's playing 7-4 for a gut shot in the turn, and it's half of his chips, and he calls you anyway, and then he hits it, and he rolls over the 7-4, and it's like, oh my goodness! Everyone at the table is like, how could you have called? How'd you do that? And, well, that's poker. Huh? Nice hand, you know. I'm with the emailer on this one.
Yeah, actually, at that point, I'm hoping I'm not storming out. I'm hoping I'm in a cash game, can reach in and continue to play against that guy because that money's going to be back in the table eventually.
And that is live money, no doubt about it.
Yeah. All right, Terry, thank you very much. And, Rain, thank you very much for your emails to DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com. We're going to take a break here, then we'll come back with poker pro Bernard Lee, who's got an announcement about an endorsement unlike any I've heard of before. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that, plus lots more poker news as the final table continues. This portion of our show is brought to you by PokerStars.net. That's the website where you can play against pros like my buddy Dennis Phillips.
Yeah, I was just looking around here on it. Believe it or not, as we speak on PokerStars right now, there's over 300,000 people playing right now on it. I'm telling you, any kind of game, any kind of level, anything like that you want, it's there and ready for you. You can learn everything from Raz, Deuce of Seven, the whole bit. They've got a lot of other things coming on now. The NAPT, North American Poker Tour, starts up at the Venetian here. The main event on that is going to be from the 20th to the 24th of February, and they've announced a new one, too, something a little bit different. It's a high roller tournament on the 23rd. It's going to be totally different on that. It's going to be a shootout, $25,000 entry, with a $5,000 bounty on everybody you knock out on this thing. If you make it to the final table, you make it through your shootout table, you're guaranteed a minimum of $50,000, but it's going to be a winner-take-all for the rest of the purse. So you literally could have, you know, $600,000 or $700,000 for first prize. Second prize gets $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different format. They're going to try this and see how everybody likes it. I'm telling you, everybody's drooling at this one.
And this will not be online, but actually in person at the Venetian, which is home. They're taking over the final event of their Deep Stack tournament, which is going on right now. And this will be starting up at the end of next week at the Venetian for the first event of the North American Poker Tour. But you can go to PokerStars.net right now and qualify to play in that main event at the NAPT.
Qualify for zero. Get a free ride out there for about a $7,000 package. Doesn't cost you a dime, and you could end up winning. Oh, I don't know what the first prize is going to be. Could it hit a million, Mark? It's possible.
We'll see what happens. Thank you very much to PokerStars.net for being one of our sponsors. And I've just been handed a note by our research staff that the Super Bowl overtime is sudden death. They do the coin flip. They play to the first team scores. And by the way, 44 Super Bowls in a row never had overtime. This is the Final Table live from Harrah's St. Louis on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Dennis Phillips has flown over 100,000 miles this year to play poker tournaments on three continents. But he always comes back to St. Louis to talk about the game. Here he is at the Final Table with Paul Harrah's from Harrah's St. Louis Casino and Hotel on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Dennis, I know you're looking forward to playing right here in your hometown for the WSOP circuit event that Harrah's St. Louis will be hosting. First 2 weeks of April, there will be buy-ins for people who want to get in at the bottom end at $200 and $300, up to $500. And then the bigger events will be $1,000 and $1,500. And the main event, starting on April 13th, a $5,000 championship event. The winner of that gets a ring, and I think they get a seat in the main event.
They do. And I just happen to think of something else. We ought to make sure that we get Rain invited to the women's event that's here. The gal that sent the email.
That's a very good point. I will email her back and make sure that she can do that. There will be a women's-only event. There will be a seniors-only event. There will be Pot Limit Omaha events and horse events and Limit Hold'em events. And, of course, every day at noon, a No Limit Hold'em event. If you want details, go to harrahsstlouis.com and click on the poker links there. And you can find out not only the dates and times. There will be three tournaments a day for those first 2 weeks of April. But you can also find out the structures of these events. And if they're anything like the structure or the one I played at the circuit event in Tunica a couple of weeks ago, you get a lot of play for your investment. So we're really looking forward to it. Dennis and I will probably be here pretty much every day those first 2 weeks. And we hope to see you here as well. And we'll have special guests joining us during that time for special editions of The Final Table.
Well, there will be a number of people show up here, including the guy that we have on the line right now. Bernard Lee has already said that he's going to be here in April. Our guest today is a poker pro. He's a media personality. He's won over $1 million. He's got three different titles now on the circuit that he's done. He finished 13th in the 05 World Series of Poker, co-hosts The Inside Deal on ESPN, which I've been happy enough to be able to go on to. He's published two different poker books. He actually writes a poker column, too, for the Boston Herald. And I believe he's taught at the WSOP Academy. Bernard, welcome to the Final Table.
Thanks, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it.
Well, I can hear the excitement in your voice from right here. You must be having a good day.
Yeah, today's a good day. Today's a very, very good day. Today's a day that we've been waiting for a long time. So it's good.
When we promoted that you were coming on, I said he's got a unique endorsement deal, but I didn't spill the beans because we wanted you to be able to announce it on the air here today. Talk about what you have signed a deal for.
Well, I appreciate it. today it's officially announced that Foxwoods Resort and Casino, one of the largest casinos in the world, and one of the premier poker rooms in the world as well. And I'm very, very honored and humbled to be announced as their official spokesperson today.
That's congratulations on that. That's a great deal. What does that mean?
Well, just like any sponsorship deal, you know, let's relate it to Dennis's sponsorship deal with PokerStars. You are now being basically an ambassador for that company. In Dennis's case, PokerStars. For my case, now it'll be Foxwoods. And I think what's a little unique about this is, you know, there are a lot of online sites. Obviously, that was a trend and continues to be a trend for players to be signed. And I think that the World Series was really trying to take it to another level by getting mainstream companies to really back poker, and that was really what would help poker get to another level. But I think we kind of missed one step in that, where they jumped over casinos. And in the past, there have been some other smaller deals or with smaller casinos, but this is the first major casino to sign a player, and I couldn't be happier.
Oh, it sounds like it's just a fabulous deal on that. I'm sure Foxwoods is happy to be able to land you on it. With the experience you've had over the last few years and the context you have now with your radio show, what's a radio show, 2.5 years it's been running now?
Yeah, it's almost amazingly, we thought about it today, it's almost 3 years. Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, the radio show's been going on for almost 3 years. I've been writing the Boston Herald column for almost 5, ESPN for, .com writing for them for almost 4. And then Inside Deal obviously just showed up. Like you said, I'm teaching an SOP Academy in a couple weeks as well. So, you know, I think in the words of Foxwoods, it was a perfect marriage in the sense of they are, as you said, without a question, one of the top casinos in the world, but they are, bar none, the premier casino destination in New England. And I think in 2008, Card Player, I'm quoting them by saying that they named me the voice of New England poker. And, you know, when you put those two together, it makes a lot of sense. It really brings a lot of firepower. And, you know, they've asked me to try to continue bringing energy and excitement to one of the best rooms out there. And they've been doing this for 18 years. So I'm not going to, you know, revolutionize poker at Foxwoods, but I think I can bring some interesting ideas and create some excitement. We have a couple of great ideas that we're starting up soon. And, you know, as it gets bigger and bigger, we'll definitely announce those out to the country. And people in the New England area and New York area are interested. Definitely come on down.
Will you be wearing the Foxwoods logo when you play in tournaments elsewhere? Will we see it on you when you come to the series event, circuit event here at St. Louis?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be on my chest. It'll definitely be something that'll be probably thrown into every single bag I have, a few extra patches just in case if I'm ever somewhere. I'm sure Dennis understands that very, very well.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I'll definitely, and my radio show also is now presented by Foxwoods Resort Casino. So it's the Bernard Lee Poker Show presented by Foxwoods Resort Casino. So
which, by the way, our listeners can find on Rounders Radio. You can download it and listen to it there. I know a little bit about Foxwoods because my mother-in-law lives in Connecticut.
And
whenever I go to visit her, I always take a side trip with my brother-in-law, and we go there. In fact, I was there not long after they opened up in 1992 when
Yeah,
that tiny little poker room downstairs, and now it's been amazing
right.
to see it.
Now, here's the amazing thing. We've talked about, like you said, the little tiny room downstairs. Even before that, they were upstairs in just a side area that they just kind of stanchioned off because they couldn't have downstairs ready yet. And that's when I first started playing, and we were over there. Imagine, amazingly, I played stud the first time. I never played hold'em when I first started playing. Played stud, and I caught 4 aces on the first day I was at Foxwoods. And boy, I hope that luck continued for the rest of my life.
Well, you know what? Foxwoods has been very good to you. Isn't that where you won your 3 titles, including the WPT event?
Yeah, it just, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you don't really talk about home court advantage in poker. You know, it's definitely something that you talk about in sports a lot. But you don't really say that there's such a thing in poker. But I'll tell you, to me, it's home court. I have final tabled 8 times at Foxwoods. I've won 3 titles, and it was just, a happenstance and great timing that I won 3 titles in a row back-to-back-to-back years at the World Poker Finals, 06, 07, 08. I actually made a final table in 09 to try to make it 4 in a row, but didn't finish the task. But I've won over 750,000 just in those final tables alone. So, you know, I go down there, and it's really a home away from home. I don't feel I'm away. You know, I feel like this is my home court in my backyard, and, you know, that's why it's just a perfect match. I feel very comfortable about it. As I said, I've known this casino since it opened in 92. I've been going there since. My even dream reward card number, somebody looked at it once and said, wow, you came a long time ago, because my number is so low compared to everyone else's number. So I'm very, very pleased, again, very, very honored and humbled that they would consider myself out of, you know, really, there's so many players out there that they could have chosen, but I'm very pleased that we worked this agreement out.
Well, I started to say, are you going to invite me out there? I'm not sure I want to go now.
Well, no, absolutely. We'll definitely have you out here. And, right. You know, fortunately, Foxwoods is obviously not only just a great casino and a poker room, but it's also got top Connecticut public course across the street at Lake of Isles. So we're going to have to go there and hit the sticks.
Now, we've been talking about tournaments, and you know, we talked about your success there and the fact that you're going to come here and play in April at the Harrah's
yep.
St. Louis World Series of Poker Circuit event. I'm curious, since you are an instructor as well as a writer and a player, if you could give some advice to some of our listeners, particularly people here in the St. Louis area or elsewhere who may have played in their home casino in some local tournaments that draw 30, 40, 50, 60 players.
Sure, sure.
You know, small buy-in events, you know, anywhere from $40 to $125 events. And now
right.
they're looking at these events where the buy-ins will be $200, $300, $400, $500. But more importantly, there'll be much bigger fields. Give me some strategy points for them on playing in bigger events like that.
Sure, absolutely. I think the one real thing that for the first time player in a big event is don't be overwhelmed by how many people are there, and really don't worry about the table two over from you. The only table you can control is the table you're sitting at, and 500 people ultimately translates into about 50 tables. Well, you can't control 49 tables. You can control your own. So I see a lot of people worrying about what someone else is doing, or, oh, wow, did you see that table over there? That chip leader has so many chips. In a lot of respects, so what? That's not going to affect you right now. Sure, later on it could affect you, and let's really hope that when it gets down to the final two tables, you're still there and it does affect you. But at this moment in time, focus on the 9 or 8 players that are at your table and try to take advantage of those players. And then the other comment that I would say to everybody is, in real true honesty, play less hands. Everyone plays too many hands. Everyone sees an ace and they think that's good enough to play no matter what the other card is. And everyone sees two high cards and all of a sudden two face cards and basically queen jack is now the nuts. So, you know, really be selective on your cards and then utilize your position as best as you can. And remember, a lot of these lower, you know, relatively lower buy-ins, of course we're saying that when other people, this is a step up, but when we're talking in buy-ins of 100, in the hundreds, you are talking about people that probably, there are a good number of them don't have as much experience, so they are going to potentially be playing the cards I'm referring that you should avoid. And being that is the case, you're really going to have to be selective in your hand, or else you could get into a lot of trouble really fast.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of different ways to do this. I find so many people that don't realize how much time they have to play.
Yeah, that's
if you're
a good
in a
point
smaller
too, yeah.
one where it's 15, 20, 25-minute blind or levels or something like that, you've got a ton of time to play here.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick
yeah.
and choose. You can analyze the table. Think in terms of number of big blinds you have left in front of you.
Right.
You know, you have so much more time to play.
You know, when I played in Tunica, there was 30-minute rounds, and if you got to day two, it was 40-minute rounds, and the people who got to the final table played 50-minute rounds. If you're used to playing turbo events, even in a casino where it's a 15-minute round,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost a shove fest, you know, you're up to the 200, 400 level at the end of 1 hour because they don't have a lot of the levels in there. You'll find when you're playing in these bigger events that not only do you have more time, you've got a lot more levels, and you start with 10,000 in chips, and the blinds start at 25-25. You've got a lot of
playing. And I think the other thing is that stamina. You know, just like you said, a lot of people who are playing in these turbo events, even if they make it to the final table, it's only 3, 4, or 5 hours away. So they know that, you know, I might be starting at 5 o'clock, but I'm going to be done by 9 and can go to dinner at 10 no matter what happens. But when you're playing in these other events where you have 50-minute levels, 40-minute hour levels at the World Series main event, we're doing 2-hour levels, when you have that scenario, you better hunker down and be ready for a long, long day. And when you start at 11 or 12 o'clock, you're not going to be finishing up till 10 p.m., maybe midnight, maybe even later. That's definitely something that people need to consider. And I've talked to a lot of people who said, I've never played more than 5 hours in my entire life in a row. I said, well, you better practice that, you know, because if not, at the 7th, 8th hour and you're suddenly feeling faint and you don't know why, it's because you just haven't had this scenario before and you might not have the right food, you might need a snack, you might need something to drink. Scenarios that are absolutely ridiculous and sound silly, but the only way you can relate it is imagine if you were able to run for 7 straight hours and you've only run in your entire lifetime 30 minutes in a row. Now you're going to be running 7 hours. Think of all the things that you would have to consider, such as dehydration, such as calories, etc. Well, you know, poker is not as you don't need as much endurance as running, but you definitely need some endurance.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. It's one of the things that did, I think, help me out is we used to play long, long sessions here in the cash games.
Yes,
right.
I think my record is about 38 hours nonstop on it, which
wow.
I recommend
wow.
nobody do,
yeah.
by the way. I will probably never do that again.
But even the two tournaments that I played recently, the one in Biloxi and the one in Tunica, the two that I cashed in, 14 hours the first day. You played from noon to 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
And Bernard, you know this as well as I do. When you go out there to the main event and you've got your two-hour levels, people come back after supper. I mean, maybe they played the first three or four levels well. They come back, and then all of a sudden it's 9 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock, it's midnight, and you're still playing.
Right.
The quality of the play, the readability of those players, the predictability of those players just goes up phenomenal. All of a sudden you can start putting them on hands. Oh, I made so much of my chip stack after midnight out there in 08. It was just amazing.
Yep. Well, I think a lot of players, what happens is, and they talk about it, is that when you sit down at 12 o'clock, you're fresh. You've had a nice sleep. You've probably had breakfast, and you're ready. And you can contain all of the tells and all the things that you've really worked on over the last whatever time period that you've been working on your game, and you're able to do that for the first level, maybe even two. But just like you said, when it gets to 10 o'clock and you're tired and you're sleepy or I can't believe I've sat here for 10 straight hours, and maybe your chip stack isn't the level that you had hoped for, all of those things are erased from a person's mind, and what happens is they go back to their old habits. And those old habits, in all honesty, are tells that are so transparent to a lot of us that you have to be very conscious of that. So it's really after dinner, going into the last level of the night, it's almost you have to really think to yourself, okay, focus here. Focus everything you've got to maintain the poker face and the elimination of all the tells and remain stoic so that not many people can pick up reads on you.
Well, we got a little bit of a bonus here. We got a friend of mine on here. I was tickled to death to hear what he got, the announcement today, and then we turned around and got a heck of a good poker lesson to go with it.
Absolutely.
So I've got to thank you for those and those words of wisdom. I hope people were listening to them because they are some gems that you can take home with you. But thanks so much, Bernard, for coming on here today, and my congratulations.
Yeah.
You're very deserving of it.
Congratulations,
Bernard.
Well,
I appreciate that. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks again. I love coming on the show. Anytime you need me, by all means, and appreciate it as always, and you're always welcome over at Foxwoods as well, guys. Just give me a holler, and we'll take care of you.
Well, and I'll see you out at the Venetian here in about a week or so.
Absolutely. Will do.
All right.
Take care. Bernard Lee, now the official spokesperson and sponsored by Foxwoods Resort in Connecticut. He'll also be here in April, and we'll have him back on the show when he's here for the circuit event here at Harrah's St. Louis. That's our home casino for the final table here on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Reactor Watches.
The best-built performance sports watch, period. That's all there is to it. Down there in the Super Bowl, I can't tell you how many different times somebody asked to see my watch, and then they found out what it was, and then they found out how durable it was. You go to thechipleader.com, click on the connection to Reactor Watch, and check it out. They're just introducing a brand new one right now. They're calling the Helium. It's a little bit of an oversized case on it. It's bold. It's elegant. It's a brand new styling on that, but it's still built with the same toughness of all the Reactor Watches. This is a watch you will have for a lifetime. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Reactor Watches, the best built sports watch, period.
For more on Reactor, go to thechipleader.com. That's Dennis's website. Click the sponsor link, and you can go directly to Reactor from there. And you can also download podcasts of this show on thechipleader.com or via iTunes. We'll be right back on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com.
From Harrah's St. Louis Casino and Hotel, this is The Final Table, the only show in St. Louis with a poker millionaire. That's Dennis Phillips and his co-host Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
We are at Harrah's St. Louis, our broadcast home for The Final Table, and this portion of the show brought to you by the Poker Players Alliance. ThePPA.org is the website for the nonprofit membership organization full of people who play poker just like you, just like us, whether you play in home games or online or in casinos like Harrah's, the Poker Players Alliance is fighting for you. They're fighting in courthouses, they're fighting in Congress, they're fighting in state houses around the country to change laws like the one we mentioned earlier in the hour in Florida where there's a $100 cap on your buy-in. They're fighting for states that want to loosen up poker laws all over the country. They helped us fight against the loss limit here in Missouri. They're fighting against restrictions on online poker worldwide, and especially here in the United States of America. And we hope this will be a bellwether year for those changes in the Barney Frank bill. and the Senator Bob Martinez bill as well. Poker Players Alliance, John Pappas of the PPA, was named one of the top 20 power brokers in the business by Bluff when they came out with their Power 20 recently. And by the way, your friends at PokerStars, number one on that list. But Barney Frank is on there as well, and a bunch of others, all fighting for poker players like you. If you're not a member yet, go to theppa.org and become a member of the Poker Players Alliance, just like us. A reminder that High Stakes Poker is back for its new season, season yep. number six, this Sunday night on the Game Show Network, making Sunday nights a really good poker night. You got the new episodes of High Stakes Poker. Then you got a couple of hours of World Series of Poker Europe on ESPN. In fact, I think they're doing 3 hours of those telecasts on Sunday nights. By the way, your face showed up there on Sunday night. No one saw it because you were on opposite the Super Bowl. But I had it on my DVR, and I checked it out, and there were some interesting hands that they showed there. We don't have time to get into a lot of that today. But people keep asking me, when is Dennis going to be on High Stakes Poker, because they know that you played in November. Mm-hmm. And the answer is?
Should be the end of March, like episode 7, 8, and 9, I think somebody told me.
Somewhere in the middle there, you'll be on not only High Stakes Poker, but they'll also show your Poker After Dark episodes.
I've got High Stakes Poker, I've got Poker After Dark, I've got the Heartland Tour. I did a charity up in Chicago, the Windy City advised on it. I've got some voiceovers I did on Poker Stars. The first week of March, I go out and do the NBC Heads Up.
Yeah.
That'll also be aired on it.
Things are a little bit busy in Dennis Phillips' land. We'll keep you posted on all of that, and next week we'll talk about that first episode of High Stakes Poker. There'll be lots to do there. Remember, podcasts of the show are available on thechipleader.com. For Dennis Phillips and Bernard Lee and the poker coach Joe McGowan, I'm Paul Harris. Thanks for listening to The Final Table, live from Harris, St. Louis, on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com.